Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody Weekend Replay Podcast. 12 of our favorite moments from this past week.
Social media connect.
We have an email here from, well, it came into murphysamandjody.com from Cheryl. It says, hi, I work at a local hotel and just wanted to say thank you for your comment to tip your housekeeper when staying at a hotel. We always do. You can, and if you're staying more than one night, you can wait and save and put one big tip at the end.
Yeah.
But Murphy likes to tip every day. We usually try to tip a little every day.
I do. I mean, I think that helps. It's encouraging. They're doing the work right then. Right. Why would I make them wait 2 days? They don't know how many days I'm staying.
They actually might, but yeah. Anyway, I don't know. That's a good question. But anyway, Cheryl goes on to say, only at, this breaks my heart. Only about 10% of people do tip.
Yeah.
How?
What
percentage?
10%.
I wonder if that's
unbelievable.
It's probably because people don't think about it. I don't know that it's a purposeful thing. Many people probably don't know. I know early on when I was traveling, I didn't know that that's something I should do.
See,
you know?
I never tipped. Growing up, we never tipped.
Right.
I mean, in hotels. And then as an adult, I never did until y'all started talking about it. I picked it up from y'all maybe 5 or so years ago, and I've tipped ever since.
It's funny because when I was a kid growing up, we didn't travel a lot, but I knew that you were supposed to tip host a hotel housekeeping.
Yeah.
And then Murphy does, and we do. I always do. In fact, it's one of the things you need to have money on you for, you know, valet or anything, bags, but definitely in the room for what they have to do. We were talking about this too. And thank you for this, Cheryl. How hard it is to just make the bed. Making a bed wears you out.
Well, and I'm
and
sure
they make so many a day.
Some people probably leave quite the mess. You know what I mean?
So, I don't even want to think about it.
Yep.
I didn't want to clean my own house mess. So she says, please do not, people do not realize the amount of work it takes to keep the hotel clean and running efficiently in all areas. Thank you, Cheryl. That was another part of our discussion is that I didn't realize either until I read about it. I found this really good in-depth article online, like ahead of summer, that housekeeping, they're also responsible not just for their group of rooms, but for other areas of the hotel as well. Mm-hmm. And normally those areas look pretty good, pretty immaculate.
Yeah, lobby, elevators, all that stuff.
Right.
I always want to know what fragrance they use.
I know.
It always seems to smell better at a hotel than it does at home.
And rightly so, right? All your life, did you think that the whole full moon thing was like an old, you know, myth?
Full moon.
Oh, you
thing.
Mean like the superstition that weird things happen on a full
werewolf?
Moon?
Werewolf?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was lore.
Yeah.
Right? What about you, Murphy?
I mean, I've always been mixed on it because, for one thing, full moon light, I mean, they will say sometimes more criminal activity happens, but there's more natural light, you know, that kind of stuff. I've heard that before. Mm. But
I always thought it was the stuff of the movies or the, you know, werewolves or that. I never thought about it much past, you know, pop culture when we were growing up. But, you know, more and more we're hearing and they're doing scientific studies and they have data from emergency room workers and highly trained healthcare workers who say, yes, they do see an uptick in an impact on human behavior.
Crazy behavior.
Well, mental health issues, too.
Oh.
And they press their emergency buttons more often during a full moon than any other time during the month. They just do.
Interesting. I mean, look, I think that there may be something to it because as many times I thought a lot of that was just total superstition.
Sure.
There have been moments where, like, on a day, like 6 or 7 totally crazy things happen and someone said, well, you know, it's a full moon today. And it's like, oh, well, maybe there is something
to it. And even when people have said that, I'm thinking, is it really a full moon or are you just throwing that out at me? Anyway.
Well, actually, you know what? That's true. The last time it was a weird day, it was just a waxing gibbous. It was not
the
a
monkey?
True full moon.
What?
Yeah, a waxing gibbous moon, not a, you know. You don't know the moon phases, Jody?
No. I don't know.
Actually,
no.
I don't know it either. I just
don't fall for it, Jody.
It sounds like you do know the moon phases.
I knew
phases.
It that day.
You're throwing that out. No, there was a pink moon last week.
This great, this research and all, but did they ever come up with anything about the werewolves?
Where are
There's
they?
No werewolf research, but.
See, well, it's not complete then.
Anyway, it's just something to think about. And the number one group who reports, not werewolves, the number one group that reports that they believe because they see it, significant behavior changes, are those in healthcare. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I mean, those are the people to believe, right?
Specifically in emergency rooms.
Yeah. Huh.
The next full moon, by the way, don't make that sound. The next full moon, by the way, is May 23rd.
And it will be a flower moon.
Thank you. We mentioned this yesterday in Three Things to Know Today. Southwest Airline considering airlines.
Yeah. The version with the S, yes.
Southwest
until the paint wears
airlines
off.
Airlines considering changing their quirky little, you know, boarding and seating procedure.
Quirky.
And
I like it.
If you've never flown Southwest Airlines, they don't have reserved seats on it. So what they do is you have you're issued basically a letter and a number, and that's the line you stand in the order. And then when you get on the plane, you pick whatever
seat
you want.
You get to choose where you sit. So
A,
I
B, and
go,
C group.
You know what I do? If we buy tickets and we're in group A on Southwest, I go straight to a window seat, but up close to the front of the plane so that when it's time to get off the plane, first one off.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it.
I find the exit row so I can stretch out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Plus, you love it when they come up and say, are you prepared to accept this responsibility?
I don't know, ma'am. What does that entail?
So the thing is, it's probably going to happen. Why? Because they're looking for a significant revenue, and apparently more and more passengers do not enjoy the lack of assigned seating. We are in the minority, Sam, loving it.
It probably slows the schedule down a little bit, too, because by the time you get to the third boarding group and everybody either sits on the aisle or the window, it gets really tricky.
The third boarding group, you always end up in the middle seat, period.
Yeah, right.
The reason we like it.
You're on the plane. The point is you're on the plane.
The reason we like it is we're always five. We're always in the top 10.
Well, that's because it's early bird. You can pay $12 or whatever it is and be a quote-unquote early bird.
So I can understand hating it if you're one of the last people on.
They're going to make the decision, Southwest, this decision about assigned seats possibly becoming a thing and the, you know, quirky pick-your-own-place going away by September. So you have a little time if you're traveling this summer. They say they're never going to impose baggage charges, so check that.
Bags fly free.
They'll never also put up little curtains. They don't like the separation. And I like that, too. So just a little update for you. If you like to fly, where you want to sit. What moms really want for Mother's Day.
Peace and quiet.
Here's the news. It differs depending on where you are in motherhood. It just does.
Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense to me.
It does.
What do you want?
I haven't thought about it. Oh. I want to see the girls.
Okay.
I want Taylor and Phoebe to come spend the day with me. Maybe the day before. You know, we'll go on a girls' shopping excursion. And then on Mother's Day, we could all go out to dinner.
You know,
Murphy could take us to dinner.
That would be fun.
That would be, and that's different than it was years ago.
It is.
When they were little.
The the thing for like, and this is an important reminder, I think, for a new mom, or I should say the spouse of a new mom.
Totally.
Remember that the new mom is Mother's Day also, not just your birth mom or, you know, adopted mom or whatever. Right?
Yes, if she's a mom in your life, it doesn't mean you have to treat her like she's your mother. She's not.
Right.
If she's the mother to your kids or the kids that you guys share.
Right.
Yes. The reason it matters where she is in motherhood, and this is the no-duh. If you're older, if you don't see your kids as much, life has moved on. The house is quiet. You want them. You want to be around family for that day.
Yeah.
Now, it's not all one size fits all ever. There are quirky moms who might want the 12-foot skeleton from Home Depot. Get it for her then. But if you, like they say, Gen X and millennial moms want a little time to themselves.
Yeah.
When you have little kids, it doesn't matter how great a dad is and how involved he is. There's something about mom. They call mom's name 100 times more than they do dads for some reason. You can't go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like you literally, I remember being in remember that little house we lived in, the first house we lived in? There was a space between the bathroom, bottom of the bathroom door and the floor. And I remember hands coming into there while I was in the bathroom going, Mom, and like tapping, Mom, I need to show you something. I need to ask you a question. I'm like, 5 minutes, baby.
Yeah.
5 minutes. And they don't mean a thing by it. That's kids being kids.
And like you were saying, for Gen X and millennial moms, the request for taking a break, that's exactly what we used to do. We'd do it on Saturday so that you could still have Mother's Day with the kids.
Yes.
But Saturday, you would just go do you and be Jody.
I would be gone all day. Sam, your mom would really probably like to see you.
Probably just a visit, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to roll in?
I may. We'll have to see if I'm busy that day.
Okay.
You know, Jody, earlier you mentioned that Southwest Airlines is considering changing up their seating plan, going to reserve seats as opposed to the free-for-all that we have now.
I enjoy the free-for-all.
But it's like really the only airline, to my knowledge, that still does that that way. Southwest has always been one of those really cool, different airlines, the sense of humor
the
thing
renegade.
And all that. Right, exactly.
Yeah. And two of the things you said they won't do is charge for bags.
They said they're never going to do that.
And they're not going to put curtains up. And that made me think, why are we still...
curtains.
And maybe it's just me, but why do they even still have curtains? I understand it's to keep us from seeing first class or vice versa, but it's not like we don't know what goes on up there.
It's not an idea.
Like, let's pull the curtains and then let's get busy up here because there's going to be music and there's dancing.
Well, for one thing,
he's going to answer this.
Yeah, don't you find that it really cuts down on the noise?
Yes, true. Yeah.
I don't like the curtains either because we know they're first class. We know they're getting champagne.
Yeah.
And or whatever they want, extra snacks.
I've flown first class once or twice. I know what it entails. It's great. And I didn't get it this time, so that's life.
Right.
Well, you know, the all I can figure is maybe it's the privacy part for part of the premium, right? Exactly what you're paying for it. Yeah, first class tickets are a lot more expensive than even the other in-between ticket levels now, you know?
Yeah. The only time it ever, and I don't care. If you pay for the first class thing, you should be able to have all the amenities that go with it. I don't care. I usually only care that I'm on the airplane because I have somewhere to be, truly. But the only time it really bothered me was the flight I was on recently. You guys weren't even with me. I don't remember where we were. You know, we travel some. And it was they didn't have any snacks for us. They didn't have anything for us. No pretzels, no peanuts. We were out of snacks.
You mean
back in the whatever, in the regular comfort, regular people seats. But up above, I don't remember what airline, they didn't have the curtains closed, but they were getting snacks handed to them in baskets. And they got to pick. And I was like, I'm hungry.
Yeah, actually, I think they were getting warm paninis.
I'm sorry, it's too bumpy for us to serve you. However, in first class.
But you get what you pay for. If you pay for that premium
ticket,
you should get it.
Totally get all that, right?
Including the curtain.
Well, who cares about the curtain? Mad props to Murphy once for a trip I had to take. And he bumped me up to first class. I didn't know it until I got to the airport.
Oh, nice.
So nice.
Here's a trick question. Do you want AI at the drive-thru when you order your fast food? Because it's already in place some places. Wendy's is trying out something called Fresh AI.
Okay.
Okay.
They started out with just a few stores, and now apparently it's already spreading. You drive up, and I actually have all audio of this. A reporter drove up with his microphone out the window and recorded what the Wendy's AI sounds like. Listen.
Welcome to Wendy's. What would you like?
Hi. Can I get one... bacon double stack biggie bag?
What sauce for the biggie bag nuggets?
Can I get barbecue sauce?
Which drink for bacon double stack biggie bag?
A Coke, please.
Which drink for bacon double stack biggie bag?
A Coca-Cola.
Yeah, see, for some reason,
anything
I guess it doesn't hear
Coca-Cola.
Coke.
Also,
here's what's cool. He's shooting a video of this whole thing. As he's talking, everything he's saying is on the bottom of the screen, on the bottom of the ordering screen.
So he can see AI is reading.
Verbatim what he is saying on the screen. And then after he says, I want the biggie, blah, blah, it pops on the screen. And what sauce would you like? It pops on the screen.
So it's like you're ordering it for, you're directly ordering it.
Yeah, like it eliminates any errors. Or if you see the error, you can say no.
It's still replacing a person. I don't love that.
The upside is it gets your order right, I guess, and it's quicker maybe, understandable, easier. But the downside is, somebody loses a job for that.
Yeah.
Or winds up multitasking other things maybe.
Yeah. Or fixing the AI machine.
Did you also notice how he was speaking to it?
Yeah, slowly.
Being aware
clearly.
That it was AI, he changed the way he ordered. Because don't we normally go, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, take into consideration any slang, any speed talkers, anything.
Hey, what's up?
Me, I talk too fast for Alexa right now, you know?
You do, Murphy. You talk too fast at the drive-thru.
Do I?
Yeah, I think so sometimes.
I didn't know that. You know, the thing about the... AI part of it, and I'm sure they've got this part figured out too, but if it gets stuck and it can't understand, if you get frustrated enough, you'll drive off.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so they need to figure out something where there's...
Sure. This is the world we're in, where we're dancing between where does it work best?
Mm-hmm.
I think note-taking, things like that. But does it need... to be in the place of a human here. I don't know.
For that, how many curves can you throw it that it just locks up?
Correct. You know?
But I'd like a little circle. Less cheese on. I'm sorry.
Want to kick it back to yesterday's After the Show podcast in case you missed it. Murphy parted with a family treasure all about the little red Corvette.
Me and my brother and sister.
Right. You guys have sold now. So if you want to hear the whole story of who bought it and how hard it was to say goodbye to it, it was your dad's 66 Stingray.
Mm-hmm.
And it was red and it was gorgeous. But... And the mystery of it, though.
But it wasn't running.
No, it wasn't running. The mystery of it is your dad bought it in 1969. He loved it. He drove it for a while to work. He drove you to kindergarten in it once, which is my favorite story, that you remember being in that car going to kindergarten.
I do. And my sister's memory of riding in it was preschool. That's really funny. Yeah. Right.
And then he drove it, and then he went to crank it one day in 1980, and it... What happened? Something
well, it,
exploded?
It had actually, it hadn't been running for a couple of years before that, and he was trying to retool it, and he'd replaced the carburetor on that, and when he did, gas started spewing, and that was it.
It was a bad day in your, at your house,
yeah,
right?
He wasn't happy. He never touched it again after
that. And that's
the
mystery, and one of the things that you, because it was his love, his car, his baby, and so one of the things that you had touched on in the After the Show podcast is that you wish you had asked him, because he passed away like 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You guys never had the conversation of why, Dane, why did you not ever want to get it running again?
Yeah.
And it's a mystery since you don't know, since you didn't have that conversation. But I wonder if it's that thing where something is such a big task that you can't feel like you can do one little thing and you're there. It seems... You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe it seemed so big.
The
to
mystery
him.
Of why he didn't fix
right.
it. Oh yeah, I think it was overwhelming for him.
Yeah.
And he knew that it was going to take a lot of work and effort. And look, cars that old, you know, there's everything is a mechanical moving part. It doesn't take much for something to fail and be out. You know, it's a lot to manage. Anybody doing it today would have to keep it up. But you know, the reason we never asked him is I didn't want to make him feel bad.
Sure.
And right. I know that sounds probably stupid, but
no,
you know,
it doesn't. It sounds sensitive and compassionate.
Yeah, we never did. We knew he loved the car, but we never asked the question.
It was his business.
When we
anyway.
Were kids, as teenagers, we were asking, "Are you going to get it? When are you going to fix it, or whatever?" And so I think we had asked so many times, we realized it's just not something to talk about.
One of those
about.
Subjects that you sort of danced around.
Yeah.
Anyway, the full After the Show podcast, Goodbye Little Red Corvette. You can get it wherever you listen and download podcasts. Just look for search Murphy, Sam, and Jody.
So earlier when Sam was talking about Wendy's experimenting with the AI at the drive-thru, and you know the whole experience is supposed to be just that automated AI stuff, it made me think about something that I've seen lately, and I don't know if either of you feel the same way. Are you using the experimental AI stuff like on Google search, where you have the regular Google search and then it gives you the AI summary?
Sam, you go
I've
first.
I've been using the, it popped up on my phone. Last time I used Google on my phone, it said you're using the AI.
Huh.
For you, Jody?
What do you think? What do you think?
Let's figure out how to ask.
Not
anyway.
Intentionally. If I'm using AI yet, I don't know it.
Well, this is something, even if you don't. So if you're shopping on Amazon, Amazon's using AI for summaries. This is where I'm going with it.
Sure.
It's really weird now that AI is being used on so many different things. I can tell, even without it saying it's an AI-generated summary,
right.
that it's an AI-generated summary.
Okay, I have seen
It has
seen
a
things.
Certain, you know, it's always according to some people. It winds up being, you know, not
generic?
Vague, but very generic at the beginning.
Right.
Yes.
And the one thing that I've also noticed that you really need to be careful of if you're using the experimental is it will tell you what articles or what websites it's sourcing for the information.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that those are actual websites that you want in the feedback.
Ah.
You know, so that it's whether you consider it legit or
right.
not, or biased or whatever, you know?
Here's my question for you, Murphy, since you're the first one, you're the most likely of us. Well, you are too, Sam, I guess.
Thanks for throwing me a bone.
Want to be astronaut. You guys are both very likely to adopt new things quickly. And I'm not. I take my time. And that's fine with me. Where are you using it most, AI, Murphy?
Where am I using it most?
In your life.
I mean,
at
AI,
our house.
I mean, considering some of the original AI really is like, you know, smart plugs and that sort of thing. That's AI, technically.
Technically, yeah.
The interactive AI is different. And I'm probably only using it on Google search, really, or some of the Microsoft stuff, you know?
If I'm using it anywhere, I don't know.
I was thinking that you would start My assumption, Murphy, is that you would start using it in meetings, taking notes and things like that, so that you always have, you know, information to go back to that you don't have to rely on yourself for.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
That is a really good idea.
And you got that meeting today.
Well, maybe I should try it.
Earlier, we were sharing some of the feelings that everybody has and support for Murphy saying goodbye, choosing to say goodbye to the red Corvette that you and your sister and brother inherited from your dad, 1966 Corvette, that for 3 years you guys have tried to figure out what to do with it, and then you sold it.
Yeah, for anybody that doesn't know the story, it hasn't run in forever. It's typical of a classic car that was never restored.
Yeah.
And so it's sat. And so you finally have to just make the decision, okay, this is not who we are as much as we would love to. It's a super special thing. Time to move on.
I bring it back up because there's a lot of love for you on our social media attached to that post. And it's so sweet, kind of sad. A lot of people don't understand why you would ever let go of something like that. And it's hard to explain unless it's in your garage, you know. But one of the comments was from Gary, who said, in other words, your wife said you couldn't keep it. And I just wanted to say, and I think there was an LOL at the end of that comment. So, ha, 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 Gary. But I want to say something. We don't have that kind of relationship.
No, we
you
don't.
Know it. Sam probably really even knows it. Not that you're in our marriage.
Yeah. I mean, I know you weren't happy with the giant giraffe lamp, but it was nothing you told him he couldn't bring in the house.
Never. There was stuff coming in. All for a year.
Yeah.
And there was never.
No, you never did that. Well,
I would never. You would never do it to me either. You'd never say, let me, allow me. We don't have that sort of relationship.
We don't have that sort of relationship. And you know why? Is because neither of us like to be talked to that way anyway.
Correct.
I've never been the type of person that likes that, to be told what to do, and you don't either.
No,
so.
I believe in personal freedom. Right, we just have danced that throughout our marriage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, long time ago, I was in a very serious relationship for a long time, and one day I was told that I wasn't going to be allowed to do something by that person, and he just said it casually, and I knew inside of my brain a switch went off, and it's like, this is over. Mm. That actually did happen.
Yeah.
And it, you know, anyway.
You know how I knew this? One of the first things was like, hey, Jody, you've got to get rid of those cats. The answer was no on that one. All those years ago, yeah.
Man, we made it through those cats. Thank you, Gary. Reach out to us anytime, Facebook or Instagram. Very personal after the show podcast earlier this week when Murphy got into it about how he sold his...
Got into it. You make it sound like
I'm
a...
I'm sorry. You went there. You went deep and honest about selling your dad's 1966 Corvette, which you did this week. Yeah. What a personal and difficult decision it was.
It was.
The After the Show podcast really goes there. You can search Murphy, Sam, and Jody anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you can check that one out, and we do two podcasts every day for you there.
Yeah. You can also call us anytime, 877-310-4... MSJ. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What can we do for you?
This is about the little red Corvette. I'm 81 years old. I was in the vintage car circles.
Okay. Yeah.
No matter who buys that car or where it goes, it still belongs to his dad.
Oh.
Sweet.
What a beautiful thing to say.
That was, what's his name, Murphy, Sam, and Jody. That's it. That was so-and-so's dad's car.
Oh, right. You're right. Yeah. Oh, legacy.
You could sell it. You know, it's like a Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave.
You can
sell the car.
Uh-huh.
You can sell the car, but it still belongs to his dad.
I love that you said this, and I think he needs to hear it.
Yeah, I do.
So thank you.
I had an old Mustang, and I sold it. But you know what? Everywhere it went, it was still Bob's car.
That's right, Bob.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You're a delight. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
You bet. Glad to talk to you guys. Love to listen to your show.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Appreciate that, Bob. Do you know what? My dad would have been 81 this year if he were still alive. I wonder if they ran in the same circles. That's a really good point, though, because the guy who bought the car even wanted to keep the original title, even though it's not, it's from 1966.
Oh, that's cool, though.
But you keep it.
And it's got my dad's name, obviously, on it.
So sweet. Tamara from our Facebook page says, beautiful car, but sometimes we just have to let it go, especially if you can't fix it up yourself.
Yep.
And
that's
Deb,
what it came down to.
That's a beauty. She's referring to the picture we posted. I'm sure it got a lot of thumbs up going down the road to its new home. Murph, when we were talking earlier about what we don't do and we don't say to each other in our marriage, mm-hmm. it's the whole, you know, let you do things, allow you to do things. It works both ways. We don't tell each other what to do.
No, we don't do that. We don't talk as though we control each other.
No, and it's funny. It's an interesting topic to bring up because, I mean, obviously that's not healthy. But do you know that I grew up around a lot of adults that were that where that was at play?
Oh,
you
really?
Know, there were, you know, I don't let or she, you know, I don't let her do this. Or you would hear, you would overhear this sort of stuff.
I've heard people talk like that, but even my parents didn't, you mm-hmm. know, talk like that. My mom was in charge and my dad knew it.
Same here.
See, but even that, even when you hear... When you hear that, it feels weird and uncomfortable for a man to say, my wife won't let me do that.
My dad would have never said that. Right. My dad was agreeable and went along with it.
Anytime that's ever brought up, if you're around a couple and you see something like that happen, it's uncomfortable for everybody around because you can't say anything. But you want to go, what? You know, if you want to have a flower bed, you can have a flower bed. Or if you want to go, you know, out on a girl's evening, you should be able to go.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. It's just a weird thing. But the reason I brought it back up is because I didn't get to this because of Gary's comment, the reason that you chose to get rid of the Corvette.
No, he was tongue-in-cheek.
He was making the ha-ha, which means, you know, Jody said you couldn't keep it. Not the case. The thing about you is, and the thing about maybe you don't realize if you listen to the show, if Murphy wanted to keep that Corvette, we would have that Corvette. It would be up and running.
I'll go one step further.
What?
If you had opened your mouth and said, you need to get rid of that Corvette.
Oh, no.
There would be less of a chance of getting rid of it.
Sam, you do know him really,
his feet would
really
be
well.
Dug in. That's even
right.
Further.
That's right.
It's true. We just don't do that to each other. And it's a mutual respect.
It is a mutual respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although you have a mesmerizing effect on me.
Okay, don't do that.
What you're talking about, I think, is very much generational, though. I know that it still exists, but you know what I mean? It's really kind of an old school thing. I think back to even my grandparents didn't treat each other like that.
Younger people need to know if someone wants to tell you what to do and with your life, that's not healthy. Yeah. They support you or they don't. Sam, have you watched any more of the Bon Jovi documentary?
Yeah, I watched episode 2.
What did you think? You gonna keep up?
Oh yeah, it's pretty good. Richie's in it now, and they've gone up through Slippery When Wet and New Jersey.
Yeah, the big ones.
They've blown up, and now they're all tired of each other. And catch it on episode 3.
Yeah, it's a good story, even if you didn't, you know, even if you weren't a child of the 80s.
I can't believe I haven't started it again because I'm going to play it again. You know me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch it again. I just wanted to share some of the funniest comments I posted about it the other night because after the weekend was over, it debuted on Friday.
Right.
I watched some Friday, some Saturday, some Sunday, and by Sunday night, I posted because I need to talk about it. Like, I wanted to talk about it, and you came through. So, this is so cool. Graciela says, I've been a fan. What a great name. I've been a fan since I was 11 years old. I agree with you that it was a lot about his voice. I thought the second episode should have been the first. My bestie from childhood and I watched it together this weekend. Oh, that's so cute.
So, why does she think the second episode should have been the first?
I think the first one is a lot of buildup to... You
first
know,
one
Jersey.
Lays the groundwork.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And so most people are more interested in when they made it.
Yeah.
So I saw the consolidated, like the Cliff Notes version, which was the interview
Strahan.
With Michael Strahan. And so when
they skipped over the intro that way.
And so was Runaway the whole thing? That story was told in the second episode, not the first?
I don't remember.
That was the first episode.
I just binged it, so I don't remember. Michelle said, I loved it. I hate to even say this, but he is a little more arrogant than I expected.
Really?
Or he was, anyway. I still love him, though. I can see those little spots of arrogance.
I consider that confidence.
Well,
when he's talking about, if I had all the tools in my arsenal, I'm unbeatable.
Yeah, he knows that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess some people see that as arrogance. Yeah. There are times when he might dance a little bit arrogant, and then other times just confident. He's a good person.
Yeah. I think that's probably an easy thing to do when you were a rock star and you have that many fans clamoring after you, concert after concert.
You have that complex.
Yeah.
Correct. Nancy said she loved it. She knows that they're rock stars from New Jersey, but I was still surprised at how much John and David used the F word. Nancy, we love hearing from you. Keep it coming anytime.